hands up if you found that one easy. I really hope everybody's hand is up. We've already had quite a bit of excitement and walking around this morning. I don't want to elongate it further. So I was going to say, hey, get up and go and tell somebody your name, especially if you don't already know them. But what I'd like you to do is just where you're sitting, have a look around you. If there is anyone around you that you don't know their name, chances are they don't know yours. Exchange names. Right. Names have been exchanged. Are you ready for the next question? Some of you, if you were very quick, might have already had an inkling of what it was. So this question, although it's easy for most people too, might find it a little bit harder to define. Where do you live? Hands up if that one's easy for you. Relatively, but some people that's a bit more difficult as well. This one is a little bit more nuanced, isn't it? Because when people would ask me, where do I live? I'm having to start thinking, oh, what are you asking me? Do you need to know where I live because you want to deliver something to my doorstep? And then I've got to be quite specific, don't I? Or you might be asking me, oh, whereabouts? So you could, do you know that kind of thing? What suburb? Or I have, in previous parts of my life, lived overseas. And if I am talking with the people that I knew from there, what they're asking me is, what country? What country do you live in now? So it's a nuanced question. Turn to your neighbour and tell them whereabouts you live. You might be telling them a street name. You might be telling them a suburb. Or you might be telling them a country. Where do you live, Mark? Where do you live? Yeah, we're still on. You live and work out of the same place. Right. What about this one? I've been meaning to ask, what church do you go to? What about that one? What would you say? Would you just say Papanui Baptist Church or whatever church it is that you generally attend? And just think of it as the building. Because I think one of the habits that we fall into is thinking about the structures, the buildings, or the ministries, or the staff, the paid staff especially, are the church. And we are part of it. This building is part of it. But I think if we define the church like that, we miss so much more than we put into that definition. Look around you. Look at those people that you just shared a name with, that you just figured out where they live. Because you are the church. Me too. I'm part of the church. It's us, together. Tātou, tātou, katoa. All of us together. We are the church. The priesthood of all believers, which is kind of one of our big Baptist batons that we hold on to, isn't it? United together as the body of Christ. So I think this would be a better question to put to us this morning. What church are you part of? Because when we think of church, I think of how the church shows Jesus' care and concern for people. You know, it's not just the people that I talk to in the course of a week. I have limitations. I am one person in one body with one lot of time. When we think of the 500 or so people that might be connected with this church, there would be very, very limited amounts of time if we were just looking at through my eyes and my hands and my feet. But when I think of the church and the love and the care and the concern that Jesus shows through you, I look and I see the myriad of ways that you guys care for one another. I see the meals going into the back freezer and coming out of the back freezer as people have prepared blessings in advance for people who need. I see the cobwebs being taken off so that people don't need to be on their ladders. I see the myriad of phone calls that happen when people are seen or not seen at various places and they're missed. So people ring and say, hey, I've seen you. Stay connected so that they also know that Jesus sees them. Isn't that beautiful? That is the body of Christ working together. That is the church. It's a beautiful expression of love. But Jesus is wanting to build his church, isn't he? He's wanting to build it out in numbers. We would love it so that none of these first rows are empty, that people all have to come forward. We're very Baptist here, aren't we? You've got to leave those first few rows. Yeah. So numerically, Jesus is wanting to grow his church, and we want everybody to come to know Jesus. He's such a good friend. Don't we want to share that friendship with all? Yep. But he also wants to build us and grow us together. We talk about Jesus building his church and his connections. So for that to happen, we need to have connections. And we need to build trust. And we need to have these spaces and leave spaces to be filled. One of the things which absolutely filled my heart this morning, who's been here a wee while and can remember before we had a space over in that corner for the children? We had hardly any children coming to our children's church. We had maybe 3 or 4 regular children. And we heard Jesus say, build a space. Is there a space for families here? And so we build a space, thinking there's not very many people to fill that space. Man, it's overflowing. We need a bigger space. How cool is that? For us to build up as a church, to grow together, we need chances to hear other people's stories, to hear other people's experiences, to learn who and what has shaped us, and how that has shaped our knowledge of Jesus. You know, it's one of the reasons we say time and time again, how are you connected? Who are you connected to? Jesus, yes, but within the body. Do you belong to a small group? Are you involved in a ministry? Are you involved outside somewhere? It's really important that we connect with one another more than just that 20 minutes over a cup of tea, although that's pretty good too after a service. But when we connect with others, it's easier to feel that we're connected with God, being seen and being heard by Him who binds us together as His body. So this year, Adam said our overarching theme. What did you say?
Telling our story.
It wasn't what you said. It was pick it. Because it's telling our stories. We want to be able to allow everyone who wants to be able to share a little bit more of their story. So for some, like today, we will hear from them within the service. But for others, that might be a hand-wringing, daunting thought. So for others, it might be a photo that they've taken, or a poem that they've written, or a memory that they want to share that they've written down, that we place on a wall. It might be in the paper plane. But we want there to be space for everybody's story to be heard a little bit more. Because uniquely, we all have a unique image of God. And when we share those images, those testimonies, those special stories, it just reveals God to us in new ways, exciting ways. As well as our stories, they're going to be a backdrop to some amazing sermon series. We've got the story that God has woven us into, the greater mission of God. We've got a great Lent series called The Story Behind the Door, where we're going to set up some doors within the... So I'm glad we had the fire drill out now, Malcolm, because it might be a little bit more of a nightmare later on in the year. I hadn't thought about fire safety, so thank you for that heads up. We're going to hear some about the stories that Jesus told, the parables, because Jesus was a master storyteller. We're going to hear from a couple of people very soon, but just before we do, I want to ask you another question. Where are you from? This is a bit of a funny one. For some of you, this question is going to be so easy that you won't even consider that it is difficult for others. I find this question very difficult. Colleen, where are you from? You know, my mind just goes into overdrive, that's Adam's bank account over Christmas. He comes in knowing that, no, not quite, I'm very good. But my mind goes into overdrive, and I'm once again, like the where do you live, I'm thinking, what does this person really want to know this information for? What am I trying to answer here for them? Well, I was born and raised in Auckland, but every trip that we took as a family was out of Auckland, going to visit family that lived far away. So am I from Auckland? And I go back to Auckland, I don't know the suburbs, I get lost, praise God for Google Maps. I spent most of my adult life in Asia. And if I have to be truly honest, I don't feel like I'm comfortable in my own skin and I understand what is going on around me unless I'm in Cambodia. Am I from there? I'm now back in New Zealand. I'm a New Zealander. That's what my passport says. And I'm living here and loving it. But I now work in Christchurch. I think I'll still remain a Blues supporter until I die, though, if only because it's a point of contention. And that is why I will. We have to have some points of contention so we can grow and stretch, right? You have to find some reason to love me. But generally, when people ask me, where are you from? I choose to answer a question that they haven't asked. I choose to answer the question, where do you live? And I say, Rangiora, North Canterbury. Because it's so much easier. And generally, that's just what they want to know. But the difficulty I have with this question is one of the reasons I love the scripture that we read this morning, or that was read out for us this morning. Because I wonder how Adam would have answered that question. Adam, not you. Where are you from? How would he have responded? We read there that God formed him from the dust of the ground. He breathed into his nostrils the very breath, the ruach. I can't quite get that Hebrew properly. But the very ruach of life. And Adam became a living being. Some versions say soul. And what I love about this is the change in how God created things. We're told at the beginning that God spoke. And there was what? There was light. And he spoke again. And he separated the water or the sky from the firmaments. And he spoke again. And the next thing happened. You get the idea. And yet here, in this part, it seems that God gets his hands dirty, so to speak. God didn't just speak and then Adam set up some kind of proto-Pinocchio thing. God got intimately involved and he formed a man from the very dust and dirt that he was soon to be put in charge of tending. And then God shared his breath. He passed his life, his spark, this ruach, and life took hold. Adam, where are you from? If I picture kind of Adam just suddenly becoming animated, looking around, not really, he hadn't named animals yet, didn't have Eve, getting his head around this place that he found himself, I think it would have been a very difficult question for him too. So this scripture gives me a grounding. A grounding that takes me back even further than my roots. It takes me back to an Eden that was yet untamed, untended by man. Where Adam had only just been given this priestly duty to abad the land. This land that he had been made from, that he would be sustained by as he worked it and took care of it, showing God's care for it. So I've come to rest, not in the question, who I am, but who am I from? This is a question that I think Adam could easily have answered. Who are you from, Adam? God. He breathed into me and I am his. Because I know quite firmly that it's God's ruach within me that animates me here and gives me life right now. It is my hope for the future that when God's kingdom comes, when he returns, when all is made new, my reanimation, my resurrection in that time will be because God's ruach once again brings my bones to life. Where am I from? I'm never quite sure how to answer that one. But who am I from? I'm from God. His breath is within me. So we're going to stop listening to me for a few minutes, which is always good. And we're going to get a couple of people that I've posed a few questions to earlier this week to ponder over. So Kath, could we have you first off? I'll ask you the questions. So they have had a heads up, which is lovely. So Kath, kia ora. Welcome, it's lovely to have you up here.
Thank you.
One of the questions was, what place feels most like home and what do you love about it?
At the risk of sounding cheesy, my very first gut reply is that wherever Wayne is and I'm with him, actually feels most like home. That's totally true.
That's not cheesy.
He was away in Dunedin a couple of days this week for work, and it just didn't feel quite the same. So I know God close to me in my relationship with Wayne. But the home we've made at 11A Cam Place is a gift too. And there I feel peace, shalom, salam. And I love Papua New Baptist and my church family here, and I have been coming for 48 years.
Whoa, that's awesome. So that leads me to the next question, which was, how did you get connected to this faith community, and what's one of your favourite memories here?
The beginning of the third year after we were married, we moved from Riccarton across into a house in Greers Road, my parents' home, to look after it and my brother and sister, while they went back to Papua New Guinea where they were missionaries. We wanted to go to a local church that was within walking distance, and so the first Sunday in 1977 we came here to Papua New Baptist. This bit wasn't built at that time. That same afternoon, we got a knock on the door, and the then pastor, Reverend Laurie Rankin, paid us a visit. We were so impressed by this, we decided then and there to keep coming. Favourite memory. This is hard because there are so many, but I think the things that stand out most is over the years, people becoming Christians in baptisms. We had some special neighbours for many years, Ron and Helen Blower, and through friendship and prayers, they became Christians and started to come here with us, and they asked Wayne and me to baptise them here. And now it's more than 35 years later, but we are still close friends, and they still walk the faith. But the other really special thing for me, okay, we had four kids in a bit of a rush. We had four under 5.5 years. But they were all born in this context. They all got dedicated at this church. Mm. They all got baptized here. Three of them did internships and mission trips in this context here. One of them got married here. Three of them were married by pastors from here. So I don't know whether we're lining up for funerals to happen here as well, but we feel very indebted and invested in this place.
Awesome. I'm learning things, which is very cool. So, Kath, this last decade has seen some difficult things happening in Christchurch in general, specifically, and in the world generally. What is something that living through these things has brought into your life that you would like to keep hold to?
Yes, there have been the earthquakes, the mosque attacks, and the pandemic, all of which radically affected us, and me particularly in my position as the director or principal of an English language school. Sometimes the hardest thing was journeying with individual students, especially refugees. What I've learned is that pain and joy are not mutually exclusive. Suffering and hope go together. We can clasp Jesus' hand in faith with one hand, and we can hold the other palm open with our questions. And richly, for me, I'm still in touch with many students and colleagues all around the world from these difficult times. So treasure people, live generously, pray more, offer to pray with people. I've prayed with lots of people in the context of those happenings over the years, and I've rarely been turned down. And I mean, the worst they can do is say, no thanks, and you can still be praying in your heart. But most of them were okay with it. Yeah.
Awesome.
But the pain and the joy go together.
Yeah. We hold lament and joy together, don't we? They aren't an equation that cancel each other out.
What's a hope that you have for yourself in the coming year, or for your family, for the church, for the city?
Okay, so that's four things. For me, maintain a daily close walk and talk with Jesus. This year, Wayne and I are doing the daily devotions together that are the Bible with Nikki and Pippa Gumbel. If you want to know more about it, ask Wayne for the link, but it's very special. Family. Wayne and I pray every day for our family. Our immediate family is now 19 strong. And I often say the words, God, may there never be a day when our children and grandchildren don't wake up and say in their hearts, Lord, I'm with you. I'm all in. So that's a prayer that is very regularly prayed. For our church community, my specific list was too long. So the short form, to keep growing in Jesus in all directions and in every way. For Christchurch, and just finishing with this, 25 years ago, at around 11:30 p.m., on December the 31st, 1999, our family, together with Tony and Wendy McRae, went up to the sign of the Takahe Lookout. We wanted to see the new Millennium Inn with a view over Christchurch City. I had my guitar and lots of copies of the words of the Millennium Prayer, which is essentially the Lord's Prayer. And we had the elements for communion. As the clock struck 12 midnight and the fireworks went off in Hagley Park, we invited the crowd that had gathered there for some of the same purposes as us at the lookout to join with us. We handed out the words of the song. We sang over the city at the top of our lungs. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then we prayed and took communion together. My prayer is still the same, these 25 years later, that Christchurch will become more and more true to its name, Christ's Church, His Body.
Awesome. Thank you. We have rich experiences of God in this place. Sam, can I invite you to come up? Sorry, Wayne, I probably am making your life difficult. Mike. Sam, you're a bit younger. You're not going to have 48 years of memories in this place.
No, not quite.
No, so your answers might be a bit shorter. We'll see. Sam, what place feels most like home to you, and what do you love about it, really?
This has been a hard question. I've had to do a lot of thinking and searching in the last week. And although I've been here the last, 7 years now?
Six and a half. Not that we're counting.
Not that we're counting at all, no. I have found that I think Cambodia will always be home for me. Yeah.
What do you love about it?
Yeah. What don't I love about it? I love the heat that makes you tired. I love the bustling noises and the traffic that keep you up at night. But it's all so familiar. I love going into the markets. You have all these smells and all this noise and all these languages being spoken that you, half the time I have no idea what they're saying, but it's just so different, so unique, so diverse. I love all the fruit in the tropical rainy season when everything's just flourishing. It's just awesome. The floods that happen, all these things that I really used to dislike when I was in Cambodia. It's so different from life here. And I didn't realize how much I'd missed it until trying to search for this question.
So how did you get connected to this faith community? Are you connected?
I think I'm connected. I hope I'm connected. Back in 2018 in, I think, September when we finally moved down here, I got invited along to YAP, where Dan was leading alongside Josiah at the time. Yeah. And I got invited just to start coming along. And I made some really, really cool friends who I'm still, yeah, really good friends with now.
Nice. What else have I got here?
Favorite.
So what's one of your favorite memories?
That one's a hard one, because I don't actually have any specific favorite memories. But I think for me, memories of YAP throughout the last 6.5 years, whether it's been me at YAP or leading YAP, things such as quiz nights where, you know, congregation here comes for quiz night and the youth are running it, or any youth Sundays where the youth are running it, or any camps that we're on, or any Easter camps, just the joy of being with the youth and with people worshiping God and learning about God and just having lots of fun has always been one of the cool memories here.
God and fun can go together. So what is a hope that you have for yourself in the next coming year, or for your family, your mother maybe? For those who don't know, Sam is related to me. He is my son. For the church or for the city?
Well, I'll start off with the hope that I have for myself. The hope I have for myself is that I would be able to reconnect with my home now that I've kind of realized and remembered that it's really home for me. Just remembering what things were like. And just maybe go back, revisit some things and hope that it would allow me to, grow in my faith. And although I live away from it, away from home, that God would continue to guide me in his plans for me, wherever that might be, in whatever community I might be in.
Awesome.
I've got one for family and the church as well. I hope that for my family, mum in particular, that she'd stop asking me if I cook well. I love it. Love it all the time. It reminds me to cook, so. But my hope that I have for my family is that we would continue to grow in our relationships with one another, in our friendships, and that we would continue to support each other throughout our various roles, as our lives seem to be a never-ending change of events, which is always really, really fun. So, and for the church, I really hope in my heart that we persevere with our focus on community outreach and support, that we might also, through that, learn how to support each other more fully, because I think the journey that we're on with Awaka and our stories and just everything going on here and the growth we're seeing is just really cool and unique. So, yeah.
Awesome. Thank you. Well done. So don't wait to be asked. Please, think about how your story could be shared somehow within these spaces or within the paper plane throughout the year. Be thinking. We're going to close out very soon, but we're going to do something pretty special. Before that, we are going to come to the Lord's table. Because when Jesus called the first disciples and said, come, he didn't reference check them before extending the invitation. He didn't ask them a series of questions to prove their worth, a quiz on their knowledge of the Torah, or ask to see their temple attendance check sheet.